Good evening and welcome to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, I'm the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget that you can always download the Guardian Radio app from the App Store or Play Store and carry us around all day, but especially we're always really happy when you tune in on Wednesday evenings to hear about your creative community. Tonight, I have a really awesome young Bahamian. I call everyone a young Bahamian because I'm so old, but anyway, she's an amazing young Bahamian who has started her own business based on, you know, again, like our culture, our creative community. She's also from, I'm going to say it, you're going to get mad at me, but I'm going to say it, my favorite island, Eleuthera. I'm sorry, people, where my ancestors are from. Yeah, exactly. Cachet Knowles, welcome to The Blank Canvas.
Thank you so much.
It's great to have you here. I've been following you for, I don't know how long now, a couple of years maybe. Mm-hmm. And for the listeners, Cachet's business is called Eyes of Bahamian Bay. And you can follow that online. You can follow her on Instagram and find out about her creative journey. So Cachet, it's really about kind of being proud of Bahamianness. Cachet, I wanted to talk to you a little about your history. Like my first question always with young creatives is, when did you figure out you were a creative? How did you get there? What kind of support did you have on your journey? So I'd love to hear about that, especially being like a resident of Eleuthera, one of the family islands where it's harder to be connected to a creative community.
Mm-hmm. So that's a really good question. I don't think I've ever gotten that question before. Thank you so much for having me, first of all. So I've always been artistic, I guess. From I was a kid, I always was drawing or painting or coloring. And it was just something that I think my parents were very good at encouraging me to do, because it's something that I always knew was like my underlying talent, being able to, I guess, be creative in some sort of way. So then I was in art in school, in primary school, in high school. And it stopped after I graduated from high school, but I always continued like painting and doing like different projects on the side. And so with Eyes of Bahamian Bay, I'm able to use those like artistic, you know, skills to create like the beautiful posts about Bahamian dialect, which definitely makes it, I guess, a little bit more fun to look at and learn about the culture.
And I think that's what makes it exciting too, is like, you know, very often, I mean, my husband always says, you know, when I was in school, I always thought I loved like science because the front of the book had this cool picture of like the planet with the core melting. But then you open the book and it's just like all this boring writing and all these dates and numbers. So I love that now we're finding ways, and that's part of what you do is finding these really visual, creative ways to educate. Was that something you just kind of like fell upon? Like you just started doodling and people liked it? Or was it really like, you know, this is my plan, as if I make things pretty, people will.
Right. No. Okay. So yeah, it definitely was never my intentions to make or produce Eyes of Bahamian Bay content, making it really, really attractive and colorful. But it's something that I've always done my whole life. Anything to do with like me being able to be artistic, I've always like sort of just enjoyed, you know, creating and putting things together to make them like look pretty. Like even in my when I was in school and university, I was always like applauded on my presentations being like really, really visually appealing. It's just because I've enjoyed it. I'm a creative. So it's something that I like take the most time to do, probably more than the actual content itself. But yeah, it actually worked out because people are drawn to the posts about Bahamian culture that is like really, really attractive and colorful and shareable.
Yeah, because sometimes it's like history is really interesting and phonetics is really interesting and everything to do with speech. But very often when it becomes broken down into like a science, again, like history books can be kind of boring, right? You know, it's right. Like this day, that day. And I remember a friend of mine who was a teacher said, history is really just this big soap opera. Like this one dated that one and married that one. And then this one wanted power. And that's why kind of Hamilton, I think, was so,
it's
so amazing. Is it made to see like, you know, really it was just a big rap battle. And so I think that's kind of way what you're doing at Eyes of Bahamian Bay is you're making culture and history like really accessible and really fun.
So I actually, one of like, I think the most profound posts that I did, which was historical, but like really, really fun, I did a post about Lyndon Pinnethorn, the mace out of the window. Mm-hmm. And the actual post, it was just on like a black background and white writing, but it was, and then like I wrote it in dialect, and then mm-hmm. like Linen Penin threw the mace out the window, and then in the caption, it was very modern, so I did it in a way where it's just like, child, he threw the mace out the window, and everyone went up in like, you know, crazy, and like a lot of people commented, it was just like, if we were taught history like this, I think that a lot more people would have been more interested, as opposed to like it being history, but then also being like really, really boring and textbooky. So I think I'm very good at like taking things that are textbooky and making them fun and enjoyable to learn about, because it's just like, you wouldn't believe what happened in 1973. Like, girl, let me tell you this. So it makes it more fun and enjoyable.
Yeah, it almost makes it like gossip.
Right. Because it's
like, we all don't want to admit it, but we love a good chin wag.
Right. Exactly.
Good bit of sip. So, and then I love that you teach, again, like you not only teach, but you honor our Creole, right? In a way mm-hmm. that it's like celebrating our really unique way of speaking, rather than this kind of shame around it, or like, right. Oh, you ain't speaking right, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Was that something you felt like you had to do because as a child you were told, like, don't speak like that? Or
right. It definitely all came together. Like, again, like, this was never, like, I never was just like, I should do this because of, like, you know, my childhood and being able and being corrected as a kid. But I think once I finally started it, I realized, like, wow, there's, like, a huge story here. And so when I started it, I was just, like, I just wanted to share Bahamian culture in some way. And, like, the only ways that I knew how to do that was to make really pretty posts, to share, like, different Bahamian words, and then post them on Instagram. So it's just something that I really loved. And then also to like growing up and just being like, you know, the way you're speaking is just wrong. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just sort of felt like we should like celebrate our culture and our Creole and then everything about ourselves more than like we do. I feel like we celebrate on Independence. We celebrate on Christmas. But then I always ask myself, like, what happens between those days? Mm-hmm. We sort of just go about our days and don't really celebrate being Bahamian.
How do you decide what word you're going to focus on? Do you how does that happen?
I definitely have my favorites that I think are like, you know, the best. But then I also try to, I guess, suggestions from different people who follow. They're like, oh, can you post this word? And then I have Patricia Mierkulis's book.
Mm-hmm. Talking Bahamian.
Yes. So I try to go time to time, and then also too, because I'm always, you know, speaking Bahamian Creole, like it's just like different words, I'm just like, oh, I haven't posted about that yet. Mm-hmm. So it's just basically, you know, going through day to day and being like, oh, I'll post that. Like recently I had a conversation with my neighbor, and she said that she's always been told by other people that she have bad ways, and it's words that you don't even realize are only Bahamian. Like, I don't think anyone in the world says bad ways.
Yeah, I don't think so.
So I had never even thought of that, but I like, it's, you know, conversational, like, you know, oh, I should post this word, or I should post that word. So my favorites are no broadopsy.
That's one of my favorites too.
I have
I
a shirt
them.
On right now. Felmuttisic dread. Like, those are my like absolute favorite words.
Exactly.
They're just, and I love it because it's such a great play on you know, on tongue, you know, kapunkalup.
Yeah. And I think it's funny because some of the words like kapunkalup, I think we all know that no one says that anywhere else. But right. there are other ones that you're really surprised. My kids went off to boarding school recently and they didn't know that other people didn't talk about spry. You know, you know, they thought that was like an actual dictionary, you know, that was a word. And, you know, when they said, oh, it's, you know, we can't go out because there's a spry in it.
Right.
Everyone's like, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm. I experienced that as well. People are just like, what's spry in? And I'm like, is spry in lightly raining? And they're like, no. And that's, it's the crazy thing. There's some words that are so like in our vocabulary that you don't realize that it's not a word.
until you go somewhere else and people are like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Exactly. What you said, child. And so that actually not only took you, I mean, you have the website, you have, which we can talk about some more. So, which is Eyes Bahamian Bay is I-I-S. A Bahamian B-E-Y, because then there's of course the whole controversy on how do you spell
Bay. Yeah, exactly. That's so up for debate, but it's such a great conversation piece, and I think that's why like the shirt does so well, because a lot of people always have, you know, sparking debates or like very controversial arguments about what's the right way. And everyone either spells it differently based on the island or based on the context.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, some people think that the B-E-Y is more like, you know, nonchalant conversation, whereas the B-U-Y is more, I'm angry and this is aggressive, like texting. So, and everyone has like a different opinion of what's the right way. The reason I included all three is because I feel like they should all be celebrated, regardless of, like, you know, the differences. Like, we all know that we mean the same thing.
That's so interesting, though, because, you know, there's other languages where the same word means something different depending on how you actually inflect it,
right?
So that's a really interesting idea, that the way it's being spelt is, like, capturing the inflection. The way you say boy when you instead of bay, like there's a difference,
right?
And it means something different.
Yeah, because like the way you say it, it really means, you know, it could be the beginning of a sentence, the end of the sentence to make it a question. It could be an expression of like surprise or shock or like disappointment. You know, it really just thought it depends on like, I guess, the context.
Yeah. So I think the two most controversial spelling words are boy and bungee. Because I've seen that spelt a lot of different ways,
yes,
too.
Yes, I got so... When I actually did that word, I did that one with the How to Talk Bahamian, where I had, like, a list of two words. And I got so much comments of the spelling. It's so interesting. It's definitely a lot of different spellings in that. And I used the spelling out of Patricia's book. And people were just like, no, that's wrong. And I guess her book was, I think, a little bit older, whereas my audience is like, you know, millennials. So they're just like, we don't spell it that way. And like, you know, I have to tell them, like, you're not the only creator of Bahamian Creole. Like, your words are not, you know, God, you know? Yeah. Like, there's a lot of different variations. And then even to when I post certain old, what's the word? Older, like, phrases.
Things that people don't say so much anymore.
Right,
like,
proverbs.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, I've never heard this. I'm just like, yeah, because it's not for you.
Yeah, but your Grammy knows it.
So right.
We're going to go to a quick break. We've picked up on or very lightly on a few things we're going to come back to talk more about, which is what's the difference between a dialect and a Creole, because we talk about that. Also, about the clothing line, because we've talked about your Instagram and your Facebook. But again, a lot of people are seeing these words because we're all wearing them on our chests as we walk around.
Right.
And I'd love to talk about like how that business started. So there's a lot more to come with Keshel Knowles, a proud Lutheran who is the founder of Eyes of Bahamian Bay. And you can follow her on Instagram or on Facebook and on her website. And we're going to come back and hear more about her clothing line and what she's doing to ensure that we're proud of our Bahamian culture and our Bahamian Creole. You are listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. We're going to be right back after this break.